Thank you, sir. Waiting on my sound guy. Are we good? Hi, Crystal. How are you? Hello. Is it on?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Well, good morning, Grace. Hey, it's good to see y'all today. And as the old, I think it was the Cajun chef that used to be on PBS used to say, I'd be glad for y'all to see me today. So I always enjoyed that little line. I thought that was really good. Hey, just by way of a couple announcements, last Sunday night was spectacular. We hope y'all had a great time. It was just a blessing to be with our sister churches and the fellowship with them. We had 110 people last Sunday night here at Grace, and it was a real blessing. We took that offering up for Andrew, $660 for Andrew, and he was very much encouraged by that. And I'm telling you what, that was just spectacular. I was just very, very happy with everything. And we're going to do something like that again very soon. So we'll begin to plan and pray and prepare and look forward to it. All right. Next Sunday is our homecoming service. We will start at 11 o'clock. So we will have Sunday school at normal time. Then we will have our normal morning worship. But that will be our homecoming service. And we will have dinner afterward. Yes, ma'am.
If everyone could just write down, if you know what you're bringing, give us an idea. That would be great.
Okay. And last but not least, on November 7th is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And we're looking forward to that. Now, I have a special request of everybody, and by doing this, I want to tell you a story, and it touched my heart. It really did. Last week, I was talking to my son, Michael, who works at Silfex, and he was telling me about a couple who had transferred from Eaton to Springfield to work at Silfex, and they've relocated, and they've moved, and they've been looking for a church home. So instead of going and visiting all the different churches, they started watching YouTube videos online. And they've landed on Grace, and they really enjoy watching our videos on YouTube. Amen. But there's a problem. I asked Michael, I said, are they going to come to church? Michael said, nope. I said, well, why won't they come to church? He said, because in the videos, it looks like nobody goes there. Because everybody sits in the back and nobody sits up front. So when they see the videos, it looks like me and three or four people, and that's about it. So it has discouraged them from coming to church. So what I want to ask you is this. It's up to you. You decide. But if we could kind of squish into where we look like we got more people than four or five. I want you to understand, it encourages people. Right in here, I'm getting pointed, right in here. I'm getting pointed, right in the middle here is where we need you. But I want you to understand something. It encourages people when you're here and people see you here. But let me put it the other way. It discourages people when you're not here and they don't see you here. So I want this young couple to come and to visit our church. And I want to be an encouragement not only to them, but to other people as well. And I appreciate our church and your testimony and what we do. But we want people to come. And I'm not trying to pick on you. Believe me, Grace, I'm not. I'm just trying to set a precedent for us that we can encourage people to come to church. And I know we're a little light today with ladies being gone and so on and so forth. And that's okay. They're having a great time. And I'm glad that they're up there and having a good time. But I just want to encourage us to kind of tighten up a little bit so that we can be an encouragement to other people. Okay? And believe me, I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just trying to encourage us that we make a difference in some people's lives. Okay? That's what we're here for. All right? Thank you so much. Tuesday night. You want to say anything about Tuesday night, Terry?
Pardon?
With Tuesday night with the men's group?
Yes.
6:30, right?
No,
7 o'clock. And guys, we'd like for you to come to that. I have not been able to make one because I have been so busy. But 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, we have a men's group get together. And the teenagers are also here on Tuesday night. And it's just a lot of fun. So I encourage you to come be a part of that. All right? Okay, very good. Terry, you come and take prayer requests and then lead us in our offertory song, if you would.
Well, we're going to do this acapulco, so let's all stand, turn to page 390, and let's sing all four verses of There's Power in the Blood, page 390, or look at the screen. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power. From your passion and pride, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I forgot we got to do the offering, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Prayer request first.
Prayer request. Okay.
Y'all be seated.
Who has a prayer request? Brother Bud. Okay. Let's remember them in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Brother Pete. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, let's Amen. Remember that. Glenn.
Let's remember the Ramsey family over Springfield Missionary Baptist at Leeds. Miss Lucille went home to be with the Lord. It's James Reed's wife. And they recently lost Ken Ramsey just here. So just remember that. Brenda especially has that.
Okay. Let's remember. Remember her. Ron.
Let's remember the old lady who they traveled back today for a little excursion.
Amen. Jean.
Remember my daughter's best friend, Melissa Rowley. She just delivered her second child a week ago, but found out that her cancer has spread to her lymph nodes.
Yes. Mike? Anyone else? I want to thank you all for prayers for my nephew who passed. Remember his wife, Cheryl. Anyone else? Yes. Yes.
Terry, let's remember Kurt Walsh. Kurt Walsh.
Okay. Brother Pete, you want to go to prayer? Oh, wait a minute. I missed somebody. Roger? Let's remember that. Go ahead, Pete.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, for your blessings over us, for your sovereignty over all things, Father. And as Brother Roger says, Father, we know that you have all things in your control. We ask, O Lord, that your children, that we might be useful vessels as your hands and feet.
Amen. Let's have the ushers come forward and we'll take up the offering. We'll sing first, second, and last verse of Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, page 359 in your book. Probably know it anyway. Oh, here you go, Leonard. I'll have to get it. Leonard, do you ask blessing on the offering? What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessed presence, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's do the last verse. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. Forgive me for messing up the order of service. I'll put it up here so I'll know what it is till I get used to it. Now I think Julie's going to sing.
So how many of us are sometimes discouraged in our walk with the Lord because we work, it seems like we do and we do and we do and we don't see the results from it? But, you know, I believe that most definitely we're not going to know the results of the work we do for the Lord until we get to heaven and we see Him face to face, and then we will know. So stay encouraged and just keep working for the Lord, because everything we do is for Him and Him alone.
I dream my life was done, and I stood before God's Son. It was time to see what my reward would be. With love He reviewed my life to count what was done. Eternally. turn around and see. Then he showed me the faces of the ones who'd come because of me. So many faces that my life had led to Calvary. All those years I thought nobody saw as I labored in lonely places. That's when Jesus smiled and showed me all the faces. He said, though you did not see the yield, you were faithful to plow the field. And the seed. No matter how small the task, you did just as I asked. And thanks to you, these souls have been set free. Then he showed me the
I just wanted to take a moment to say that I've done everything possible to not be up here this morning. And I know it's wrong, and I know that the Lord's with me, and I'm singing an audience of one. And I have to admit, when the message went out about no church on Wednesday to practice, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for just this split moment. And it's sometimes I find it hard to get back into doing what God calls you to do. And I know that working with children and singing is a gift that God has given me. So I'll just pray. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
There's nothing to
All right, if you would, take your Bible this morning. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There are different type of messages that can be preached. And this morning I'm going to try to preach what's referred to as an expository sermon. And what that means is we're really going to delve into the scripture that I've picked this morning, that God's directed me to, and really analyze and look at what it says. So we're going to run a lot of references this morning. We're going to look at a lot of different things this morning. But ultimately, the goal is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, there's times when I stand before you and I feel so inadequate and so incapable of performing the task that the Holy Ghost of God has given me. And might I say, this is one of those mornings. And I want to do my best. I want to be an encouragement to you. I want you to learn something, see something from the Scripture. But most of all, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, someone watching the video on YouTube or whatever, that doesn't know Jesus Christ, it's my prayer that what I say today, what the Holy Ghost of God says through me today, maybe is a better way to put it, would bring you to that conviction of knowing that you're a sinner, and knowing because of your sin, you're on your way to hell, and that the only way of escape is through Jesus Christ. And that is our ultimate goal, our ultimate prayer, is to see, as I said, see people saved. And if we're not doing that, if the church is not trying to achieve that goal, we fail as a church. And God's allowed me to be the pastor of this church, and I can't tell you what a privilege that is. And it's my duty to make sure that we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that being said, let's all stand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 13. A very familiar passage of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So it's Paul's desire, as we read this passage, for the people, the church of Thessalonica, not to be ignorant. Now, the word ignorant is not an insult. It simply means that they don't know. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to teach them something concerning them which are asleep, or those that have already died in Christ. Their soul is in glory with the Lord. Their spirit has been gone back to God who gave it, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. But the body is in the grave. So don't think that this passage teaches soul sleep, because it does not. He says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I like the next verse, which isn't read too often. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So let's pray as we get into the message this morning. Brother Jim, you pray for me, would you?
Lord God, we thank you for this encouraging word that we are about to receive, O Lord. May you open up our hearts and our desires for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And let us not quench the Spirit, O Lord God, but let us nurture that Spirit. Let us open our hearts. Let us not put anything in between you and us in relationship to what it is that you would have us to know. And the Lord, through the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we might also, as we go forward to this assembly, execute the wisdom necessary to be able to take that knowledge and be what it is that you have wanted us to be in this sinful and dire world around about us. May we, O Lord God, be your advocates. May we, O Lord God, be your heirs. May we, O Lord God, establish for people the pathway to righteousness, so that they can see not only in our words, but in our very being, what it means to be a Christian and a follower of you. All these things we ask in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Now, as you might have guessed, my topic this morning is the rapture of the church. And ladies and gentlemen, according to the scripture, the next great event to happen, according to Bible prophecy, will be the rapture of the church. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for it. I long for it. And I want the day to happen. I like what one old preacher said. He said, the United States has its astronauts. And he said that the Russians have their cosmonauts. But he said, I want to be like Enoch, and I want to be a was not. Amen. I want to be the kind of guy that is caught up with the Lord in the air. And I'm hoping and praying that it happens in my lifetime. And I'm hoping and praying that it happens in your lifetime. The sooner, the better. And even as John said at the end of the book of Revelation, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. This world is falling apart. It's a disaster. I'll tell you what, in my 60 years of living, I've never seen such wickedness open and abound in my life as what it is today. But I believe it's because the church has allowed it to happen, that we have not opened our mouth. We've been too much of turn the other cheek, amen, and just allow things to go on. It's time that we stand for a cause, and we stand for a purpose, and we stand for righteousness. It's time that we tell people that we are not going to put up with it any longer. It's time that we allow the church to be holy and righteous and godly in this present evil world, as it says in the book of Titus. Ladies and gentlemen, we must stand for something. If we do not stand for something, we will fall for anything. And this is where we are today. The church has lost its power. It's lost its ability to stand and to be the direction of communities, to be the direction of states, and to be the direction of our country. We've lost that ability today simply because we have failed. Listen to me now. We have failed. We have failed to maintain what we believe and what we stand for. And I believe this. I believe this old book, to trust my eternal soul with what's written in that book. Amen, amen, and amen. And if I can trust my eternal soul with what's written in this book, then I should have enough faith to believe that the next great thing to happen, according to prophecy, will be the rapture of the church. Amen. Now let me define what the rapture of the church is, or what rapture means. Although the word rapture is not found in Scripture, we definitely see the doctrine taught in Scripture. The word rapture means to be caught up. And as we saw in our text, the words caught up are found in verse 17. The rapture happens for believers. It is not for those who are lost. Verse 13 talks and uses the word brethren. Verse 14 says, if we believe. Verse 16 says, in Christ. The rapture are for those who believe and those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen. We should be excited about it. We should look forward to it. But can I ask the church a question? What's happened to our excitement? Oh, okay.
I can't take you anywhere, bro.
Caller, I see the note. Somebody left me a note. That's okay. Woo! You see, the thing of it is this. Today, this afternoon, there'll be football games played all over this country. And there'll be people going home without their voices from screaming and shouting and hollering and acting like a bunch of idiots. Now, I'm not saying we should act that way in church, but folks, we need to have that level of excitement about what God is doing for us. Amen. And I guarantee you, I will go to work tomorrow. If you're not retired or you go to work tomorrow, you know what will happen? You know what everybody will be talking about? Football games, baseball games, everything else, so on and so forth. You know why? Because there's an excitement that comes with those things. We talk about what excites us. Where's our excitement for the things of God and the things of this book? We need to be excited, ladies and gentlemen, that the rapture is imminent. It's going to happen. It's coming, and it's going to happen soon. And glory to God, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. And there's nothing you're going to do to stop it or slow it down. Can I give you an example, a funny story? Y'all are going to laugh about this. But when I was a young preacher and I got out of school, you know what I wanted to do more than anything else? I just wanted to preach. Man, I wanted to proclaim the gospel. I wanted to open the Word of God and tell people about what God had done for me and what God could do for them. And Brother Terry, you know, I used to think, Lord, please, let me just have some time to preach. Don't come back yet. Let me just have some time to preach. But you know what I soon realized? It wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered because it's all about him and not about us. You know, there's people today, just like I did as a young preacher, Lord, don't come back yet. And I hope you're not one of those people. We must understand that the rapture is not the second advent of the coming of Christ. An advent is defined as a time when Christ comes to the earth and, shall we say, he touches down or he lands on this earth. The rapture is not an advent. It is not part of the second advent. It is a totally separate occurrence. According to the scripture, we go to meet him in the air. We see in our text that the order of events of the rapture is that first God the Father instructs the Son to bring his bride home. No man knoweth, the Bible says, the hour of his coming. But who? But God. But the Father. Specifically the Father. And then the next thing to happen is Christ will descend into the clouds or into the air. We will hear the voice of the archangel, whose name is Michael, that we find in the book of Jude. The trump shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I was very jealous of where we buried my mother and my father. We buried them on top of a mountain in West Virginia. And the only thing I could think of is as we were there at that cemetery, I told them, I said, well, Mom, well, Dad, you all have a head start on the rest of us. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain go to meet them in the air. Now the next thing is when's it going to happen? Well, we don't know. But I believe it's very close. You might say, well, preacher, why do you believe it's very close? Well, if you've been with us on some of our Sunday night lessons that we've been teaching on rightly dividing, one of the things that we talked about was the eight dispensations that's found in Scripture. And the dispensation in which we now live in is referred to as the church age. And the church age ends with the rapture of the church. If you go to Revelation and you look at chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, John is talking to who? The seven churches, the angels of the seven churches. Then when we get to chapter 4, verse 1, there's an interesting statement that's made. If you'll take your Bible and look at Revelation chapter 4, you're going to see something very interesting that God says to John. Now notice, 1 through 3, talking to the churches. Then when he gets to chapter 4, look at the first two words of chapter 4, verse 1. After this. After what? After the churches. Then he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first, what? Voice. What's in 1 Thessalonians 4? The voice of the archangel. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. Wasn't that interesting? What sounds in 1 Thessalonians 4? The trump of God. As it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. John being a picture of the church or the type of the church, after the seven churches are dealt with in the first three chapters of Revelation, God calls John to heaven with three words, come up hither. And you know, Christian, what I believe is this. I believe at the rapture of the church, you know what we'll hear Michael the archangel say? Come up hither. And I'm looking forward to hearing those three words. I'm looking forward to hearing the trump of God sound and come up hither. It's going to happen at the end of the church age. Now, how do we know that we're close to the end of the church age? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to the book of Hosea. Hosea. Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. Now Hosea was a prophet to the nation of Israel. And in Hosea chapter 6, he says something very interesting. But before we read this passage, remember what it says in 2 Peter 3:8. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So when we read Hosea chapter 6, notice what he says to the nation of Israel. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. When does this happen? This happens in the millennium. He heals the nation of Israel in the millennium. But notice what it says in verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us, and in the third day, which is what? The millennium, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Amen. 2 days, 2,000 years. Now watch. Oh, Jim, you're going to love this. You ready? Okay. Now, this is just me, okay? This is not, I'm going to put a clarification on this, okay? This is an idea. This is not doctrine. Y'all get it? Okay? I'm not dating the rapture. Because he said in Matthew 24, this generation shall not pass away. A generation is defined in Scripture as 100 years, as 70 years, or as 40 years. And the difference between being between all three of those is 30 years. Y'all with me? So what I'm about to say, I'm going to clarify it this way. It's plus or minus 30 years. All right? Christ was born in 4 BC, according to the Roman calendar. We know that his life was 33 and a half years old. That means that he would have died at 29 and a half BC, or AD, excuse me, 29 and a half AD. If we take that date and we add 2,000 years to it, we get what? 2,029 and a half. Then if we subtract 7 years for the tribulation, guess what year we come up with? 2022. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that excites me. And you know what else excites me? I hope I'm not wrong. Do you realize Christ could come back? Y'all understand? This is how close we are to the rapture of the church. It's imminent. It's near. It's going to happen. But not only that, we've got to look at what precedes the rapture of the church. Now you tell me if this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with me. First Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now look at verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, when I was a kid, I rode all over this country without a bicycle helmet on. We didn't have car seats and automobiles. We used to stand up in the back seat with our arms spread across the back of the seat like this, and that's how we rode in the back of pickup trucks. Now you have government agencies called OSHA, which is totally about what? Safety. And if I'm not mistaken, every war and every fight we've had the last little while has been to bring about what? Peace. You know what they're always talking about? Peace. We need to have peace. Peace here, peace there, peace. Peace out, man. I mean, everywhere, we got to have peace, right? Isn't that one of the main things you hear them talk about today is peace? And you hear them talk about safety. Safety color, safety yellow, safety red, safety black, safety purple, safety blue. Wear your hard hat, wear your steel toes. We have to wear, when I go to a job site, I have to have on a hard hat, steel toe boots, and a fluorescent vest. And safety glasses. Always be sure to wear these safety glasses. If you've ever watched PBS, you know where that line came from. But isn't it funny? What do we hear about all the time anymore? Peace and safety. Let's look at another one right quick. I can get my page to turn here. Look at Revelation 13, verse 17. Revelation 13, verse 17. We'll start me in verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might what? Buy or sell, save he have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You know what we're heading for, folks? Is a cashless society. Oh, you know what? I'm going to say this. Y'all take it for what it's worth. I don't believe there was no such thing as a corn shortage. All they was trying to do was to take your money from you. You know what everybody lives by now? These things right here. Oh, we'll take cards, but we won't take your cash. But wait a minute. According to the law and what's written on that little piece of paper that we call a dollar bill, there's a little note. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. by law, they have to take our money. But you know what they're saying? We'll take a credit card or a debit card, but we don't want your money. You know what we're heading to, ladies and gentlemen? A cashless society. And it's so close. They can bring it about at the snap of a finger. Bitcoin. Dogecoin. You're starting to see what's happening in our country and in the world. It's quickly becoming a cashless society. And honestly, there had been a time in my life where I could tell you to the penny how much money I had in my pocket. But right now, just to be honest about it, I can't tell you how much money's in my wallet because I don't use that much money anymore. The next thing is this. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And look at verse 7. The Bible says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines." Have we seen that lately? "And pestilences." "And earthquakes in diverse places." We're seeing earthquakes in places they never had earthquakes before. Can I tell you this? The state of Ohio, up until just a few years ago, has been listed as what's called a Zone 1 earthquake zone, which means that we don't really have to worry, in an engineering standpoint, we really don't have to worry about earthquakes happening when a structure is designed. Can I tell you this? The southern part of Ohio is now listed as a Zone 2. Isn't that interesting? Earthquakes in diverse places. Folks, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 3 for just a minute. And I know people will be listening to this video and tape or whatever. Used to say cassette tapes. Don't say that anymore. Then we said CDs. Don't say that anymore. I don't know how they listen to messages anymore. MP3s, is that right? No. Podcasts, no. Wait, I don't know what all that junk is. 2 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 1. "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Now notice, folks, we believe in the rapture of the church. I'm looking forward to it, as we've already talked about. We know it's close. We know it's coming. We know it's for those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But let me tell you this. People will make fun of us and ridicule us and scoff at us because of what we've just avowed that we believe. Think it not strange. And you know what I think? When someone ridicules me over my Christianity or over my beliefs, it's an indication to me, Brother Bud, that I'm on the right track according to 2 Peter. Because it's just another way of confirming that the Bible is true. Folks, don't be disheartened when people make fun of you. Don't be discouraged when people might say things about your Bible or about your Christianity or what you believe. Don't be downtrodden because people say, you go to church on Sunday morning and then you go back on Sunday night and Wednesday night? What are you, some kind of a fanatic? You betcha. You betcha. Take it to heart. Be encouraged. Thank God you're worthy of it. See, the rapture's coming. Any minute. Any sec. It could happen. But now the thing I want to say is this, most of all, we need to be ready for the rapture to happen. The first way we need to be ready is we need to be saved. We need to know and know and know and know. We need to be absolutely, positively, without a doubt, sure that we're saved and we know Jesus Christ in a personal way. As I said when we started this whole message this morning, it's for those who believe. And if you want to get out of here at the rapture, you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure. The first thing is, you have to understand, you're a sinner. Just like each and every one of us are sinners. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Hey, we all put our britches on the same way in the morning. We're all the same. We all descend from Adam and Eve, and that sin nature descended from them. We're all sinners. And because of our sin, we are on our way to hell. As I preached a few weeks ago, hell is a real place full of real people that had real good intentions. But they didn't know Jesus Christ. We must realize we're saved. And then when you get to the point where you realize you're on your way to hell, you need to understand that the only way of escape is through Jesus Christ. By accepting him as your Lord and Savior and accepting the free gift of eternal life that he bought and paid for with his blood on the cross of Calvary. If you'll simply bow your head and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and because of my sin, I deserve to go to hell, and Lord, I don't want to go. But Lord, because of what your son did for me on the cross of Calvary, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask him to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and into my life. Lord, save me and forgive me in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that simple prayer, you know what happens? God bathes you in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and he cleanses you and he makes you a new creature. The first way we need to be ready for the rapture is we need to know for sure we're saved. The second thing is this, Christian, are you ready? Are you living for him? Are you living for him? I have one desire in my life. Just one. Just one. But it's a big one. I mean, there's things I'd like to have. But a desire is different. I have one desire in my life. That's that when I stand before Jesus Christ, I want to have him look down at me and say these simple words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's it. What else in this life matters? I mean, answer yourself that question. What else in this life matters but hearing God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Man, when I get to glory, I want to be right, as right with God as I can. I want to be prayed up, read up, sanctified up, justified up. Man, I just want to be up. Y'all understand? I've often had this thought. Wouldn't it be interesting if we took to heaven with us whatever we had in our hand when the rapture happens? Can you imagine how many TV remotes would be pointed right at the Son of God? Yeah. Cell phones, iPads, right? A fork, yeah. Well, you'd be ready for the marriage supper if you had your fork. I had a friend of mine, that's funny, made me think of this, Dev. But I had a friend of mine years ago, used to be my song leader in Pennsylvania. But he always told me, and he told his kids, he said, hey, he said, when I die, he said, I want you to bury me with a fork, a knife, and a spoon in my shirt pocket. And I said, Ike, why do you want that? He said, because I want people to know I'm going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Man, I just want to be up. I want to be right in his sight. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Folks, we need to be ready for the rapture of the church. You know, a lot of times guys preach on the rapture and it's like a big shouting message and everything else. I didn't want that today. What I wanted for you was to learn from the scripture that it's close, that it's imminent, and that it's coming. As many of you know, I've been taught, I've been encouraged by a lot of old preachers over the years. I mean old preachers. When I was a young man and we'd go to meetings, you know, camp meetings or revivals or whatever else, and they'd have a meal afterward, it seemed like those old men of God would just kind of get at a table by themselves. And what I would do, Brother Dean, is I'd do everything I could just to get in there, just wedge myself in there somewhere. Not that I wanted to be counted worthy of them. I wanted to learn and hear what they had to say. And there was one old fella by the name of Earl Hughes. An old Earl, we called him Earl the Pearl. Old Earl's in glory now. But he'd get up and he'd just have a fit. Only way to put it, when he'd preach. But it was a blessing. You know, I mean, it was a blessing. And I always enjoyed hearing him preach. And he would crawl out of the backwoods of Georgia somewhere and come to a revival meeting and preach, and then he'd just disappear back into those hills again. And then when he, you know, another meeting, he'd crawl out of them hills, and he'd just disappear. But he had this song he used to sing. And I want you to know this. Earl could not carry a tune in a bucket. All right? And he had this old raspy voice. And my pastor referred to Earl as, when he was singing, somebody said, well, I'll play the piano for him. They said, no, sis, said, don't play the piano for him. So that'd be like trying to put whipped cream on an onion. But old Earl used to sing this song, and I hope I can do it justice, all right? So y'all bear with me, all right? When this world begins to rot, infidels and skeptics mock, there are times of awful anguish coming on. Oh, what drawn and bitter pain when the Antichrist shall reign. But when the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. I'll be gone. Yes, I'll be gone. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. Soon the trumpet loud will sound, with a shout I'll leave the ground. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. Soon the Antichrist shall reign, all must have his mark or name. For without it you can neither sell or buy. Oh, what wonders he will do, call down fire from heaven too. It is either worship him or you must die. But I'll be gone, yes, I'll be gone. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. With a shout. No, soon the trumpet loud will sound, with a shout I'll leave the ground. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. Foolish virgins then will pine, they have here been left behind, with their empty vessels and their lamps so dim. They awoke themselves to try for their lamps some oil to buy, but the bridegroom's come and we have gone with him. But we'll be back, yes, we'll be back. When the tribulation's over, we'll be back. We may go most any day, but we're coming back to stay. When the tribulation's over, we'll be back. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And I'm going with him. And after the tribulation, I'll be back. Amen. Are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready? Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you right? Are you caught up? Ready to be caught up? Amen. Let's all stand for a minute. I ran out of air on that thing. So the invitation today is this. Very simple. Very simple. If you don't know Christ, and you're not ready for the rapture, we want you to be ready. Ours is not a plan to overtake this earth, but ours is a plan to evacuate this earth.
Amen.
And I want you to go with us. If you don't know Christ, I want you to go with us. I want you to know Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to come forward today and allow us to take a Bible and show you can know for sure that Jesus is your Savior and heaven's your home. The second part of the invitation is this. Christian, maybe there's something just not right. It's just not good. It's just not the right kind of relationship you want to have with your Savior. Maybe today you just need to come and just say, Lord, I want to make this right. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's no reason to walk out of here today carrying a load that you don't have to carry. He's willing to forgive us today. So I'm not going to have any music play or anything like that. We'll just have a quiet time this morning. Sometimes that's good. But if you need to come and pray, or you need to pray in your chair, just sit in your chair and pray, you're invited to do that. But if you need to know Christ, we want you to come and allow us to show you how you can know for sure that Christ is your Savior and heaven's your home. So, ladies and gentlemen, the altar is open. If you need to come and pray, you come. All right, Brother Ron, you dismiss us, would you please? Please dismiss us, would you please?